friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bound Podcast. This is a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel Jumper and Comics Dungeon. My name is Ben. I'm here in the Comics Dungeon, as always, with Mr. Chris Casso.
Hello.
Ms. Nicole Lamb.
Hello.
And Mr. Cole Hornaday.
Hi there.
Now, during this this recording, I will be mostly talking to Chris and Nicole and talking pretty much just towards Cole Hornaday. I will propel my words towards his face, and maybe some of it will stick.
I'm wearing my suit of emotional Teflon. You cannot touch me. Nothing will stick, Ben Lawrence. I will deflect all.
Are you guys in litigation on your bro-vorce or whatever it is, divorce?
Yeah. It's just something we came up with earlier today. We're here. Beautiful downtown Wallingford, which is a lovely neighborhood just north of Seattle, Washington. And we have a lovely respite from the heat. We've been undergoing a big heat wave these last few weeks. It's nice that this actually feels like summer. It's like overcast and 68 degrees.
It's glorious.
That's summer for me. All right. And speaking of summer, lots of summer blockbusters are getting ready to come to the theaters. One of them is Deadpool. The trailer for that was the Red Band and the Green Band trailers were released today. Did anybody watch those?
Yes. I got a little confused because when he first asks in a message, there's like that quickie.
Yeah, there's like a teaser for the trailer.
Teaser one, yeah. And I thought it was like, well, is that it?
Is there one that
Wait, there was another one on top of the other ones that were on top of the other ones? Because I just watched stuff last night.
Yeah, there was one that was released.
Again,
there was like a 10-second teaser that was released.
I saw like an expanded one where he's got a girlfriend and
No, so you saw the actual one. This teaser one that I sent out is basically it starts off with the traditional "in a world" voiceover,
and he's sitting in a chair like Masterpiece Theater style, and he's smoking a cigar, but he can't fit it in his mask.
Yeah,
so yeah.
So Deadpool, I know Cole, you have lots of love for Deadpool. He's one of your favorites, isn't he?
No, I just never had any fondness for Deadpool. He's one of those characters from the '90s that survived the extreme '90s. Mm-hmm. I just never had any fascination nor fondness for the character. But Chris and I were talking about why that might be,
and there's different runs, and the thing is that a lot of what he's popular for right now is the really just violent. He's the anti-hero who murders and makes a joke. And it's just like, well, the run I read back in like the mid-90s, late 90s, was by Joe Kelly. And the entire focus of that run was him learning how not to murder people. Mm-hmm. So it was about character development. Mm-hmm. And so like when I was younger, I really actually liked Deadpool because that was the run. And then that was followed by Christopher Priest, who was a fantastic writer. He did a great run of Black Panther and a bunch of other great stuff. And then Gail Simone had a run. So it's just like boom, 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 good. Okay. And then it went kind of back to the just kind of sophomoric murder is fun, let's go do this kind of thing. And the McDaniel Way had some good moments, but otherwise right now we're just in this super saturation point, and the movie's just kind of, I think it's going to put me over the edge on how much leeway I can give Deadpool. Sure. Now,
well, and that's all I saw in the trailer, I'm afraid, was that which I didn't like about the character going way back. So.
Yeah,
he strikes me, I've never read any Deadpool, but he's really infiltrated pop culture these days. And does his character in the comics, does he break the fourth wall a lot? Because he seems to do that.
Which is probably one of the reasons why he's so terribly popular.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of humor in the Deadpool stuff. And I'm what I call just a dabbler of Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just get little one-shots or something like that. And I really enjoy them.
Little dabble do ya.
Because for me, like, I don't get to that oversaturation point. I still enjoy him, or
the back of your knee,
as a character. And so seeing the trailer coming out, I actually am looking forward to that. Because it's going to be another dabble do me, you know, I'll be good. And I think Ryan Reynolds is a great role for that. I just think, like, in the trailer, seeing his little pretty boy face a lot was really disheartening. But I've sat with it a little bit more, and I feel like they're actually going to do a pretty good job. I just didn't want him to be so pretty. But even, like, his scarred face,
it's still kind of pretty.
Yeah. Oh, is Deadpool scarred?
He's horribly scarred. And you can't tell any features. And in the movie trailer, you can tell that it's still Ryan Reynolds.
Of course, he's a commodity.
But what makes up for it is the conversation that he's having with whomever it is across the table about how awful his face looks. And the whole time Deadpool is like, Exactly. You get me, man. Yes, I totally look like that. And so I think just the humor alone is going to be what it is for me. I think a lot of people can relate to it because he's like sassy, sarcastic, sharp-tongued. You know, I think a lot of teenage kids probably associate with that. And then murder. For some reason, 11-year-old boys and on just really love murder, like a lot of it. So Deadpool tends to be pretty popular.
What I love is when parents come in and ask, is it okay? And it's just like, did you read his name? Do you know what a Deadpool is by concept? And then the kid wants Deathstroke and it's just like, okay, now did you listen to that name?
Yeah, exactly.
How about Deadshot? Well, we're still here, aren't we?
The Punisher.
Yeah. That's one of the things about Deadpool 2 is just like, again, I really loved him, but like after a while, you have to look and be like, okay, he was pretty much a ripoff of Deathstroke with Spider-Man thrown in. And he,
and was he not another Rob Liefeld design
character? He's a Rob Liefeld design character. So there's,
came out of the X-Force era.
Yeah, right? So if you look at that design, it's straight up Spider-Man to a point.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't want to like rain on that parade too much. But again, I've been oversaturated. So I'm just kind of like, hooray. I want to like the movie, but I just am prepared to not care.
If somebody sees the movie and comes in and wants to start reading the comic, where would you direct them first?
They reprint all the Deadpool in order in the volumes called the Classics. So you could start straight from the first appearance, and it publishes everything in chronological order. And they're a good value. They're like $25 or $30 per volume. And I think it's like 12 volumes.
Wow.
It catches you up to now, pretty much. Pretty close to now. And then, a lot of the Joe Kelly stuff and the Christopher Priest stuff I mentioned is in all that.
Do you think that might be sort of off-putting for people to... Because what I'm getting from you is that this character, according to who wrote him, was treated differently and may have a different appeal to a different sensibilities in different readers.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a base amount of that the fourth wall breaking, chatterbox, joking, very malicious kind of character across the board. It's just when they actually spend time and really talk about, like, why do you have to kill all the time? Mm-hmm. That's where I got more interested in the character. Also, in that Joe Kelly run, he saved the world by Rochambeauing Captain America. And that's a high point. I don't think you can really follow up that well. Although Christopher Priest did curse Deadpool with the face of Tom Cruise for a year.
Oh.
Or Loki cursed him. And that was kind of great. Yeah, like he'd get into a big fight with a bunch of villains and then they'd be giving their death oath to him or, you know, their vengeance oath. And they're like, wait, aren't you Tom Cruise? It was kind of great.
Okay.
So, that's awesome.
All right.
So Deadpool coming out this this summer. Another thing I saw in the news that I didn't tell you guys I was going to talk about this, but hey, let's talk about it.
Oh.
Apparently, it's not that. I read that the creators of Archie have teamed up with Adam McKay and Funny or Die, and they are going to produce a Broadway musical.
I just heard about this today.
McKay says, and I quote, Archie represents a bygone era of America, and like all bygone eras, there are elements we miss and elements that should be bygone. This will be a musical that deals with both the realities in a bright, colorful, and slightly demented way.
I'm really looking forward
to
that.
I think that's like just the next level, you know? Like we just keep getting 50 Shades of Archie. I'm okay with that.
And hopefully there will be less injuries due to flying mechanisms failing. But of course, if I can see Archie and Sharknado on Broadway, that would be awesome.
Oh, I want Archie Predator on Broadway.
I just thought about it. Some people, their costume could be like they're like a tornado and they could just have plushy sharks off of them and they could spin around on stage. All right, you're welcome, guys.
So act one is Archie versus Predator who then get hit by a Sharknado. Act two is Afterlife with Archie.
Okay.
Ooh, but I like the Predator being the covers of Archie versus Predator. So it's like the
them
Scooby
at the malt
Doo
shop
theme,
together.
Like, Scooby-Doo. But it's like Archie and they're all like getting malts, you know, at the soda shop or whatever. Kind of like that. And then
like
it goes
this
back to
yeah.
And then it goes back to, oh right, I'm gonna skin people in the forest. You know, like
just a little off topic, but that's kind of where the Reefer Madness musical goes.
Oh,
have you
really?
Ever seen the Reefer Madness? The no.
They're skinned and hung in trees?
Well, but you turn
man,
into
drugs
a pot,
are bad.
You turn into
man.
Pot zombies. And so it becomes this very Romero-esque
okay.
Night of the Living Dead. But there's yeah. these bacchanalian dances with, you know, like Bacchus or some demon lord comes in, and this is all spun from 1930s era anti-pot yeah. smoking propaganda.
Was
film.
It yeah. back that far? I thought
I
that was more of a 50s
it was the
thing.
50s, but
oh no, I think it's older.
Reefer Madness was it like a late 50s, early 60s thing? But did it come out of this scare out of the 30s, the roaring 30s?
I'm gonna need to
really
look that
boring.
Up.
Let me Google that for you.
Yeah, I saw the film. I worked on a production down south of here,
Tukwila,
a couple years ago. Burien Little Theater did Reefer Madness, and I did all the props and masks and stuff, and I had a great time. But I got to build like you know zombie body parts and decapitated heads, and that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
But yeah, but what I'm saying is that it. Came from this pretty, you know, demure, pretty retiring propaganda film, and it spun into this psychedelic orgy, which is where... Anyway. Mm.
Anyway, moving on. Speaking of dismembered body parts, the Canadians did a thing where they built a hitchhiking robot called Hitchbark, and it's a robot in the loosest sense of the word.
It really is. It was a bucket.
It's like a GPA in
it
a bucket.
Yeah, bucket with yeah. some sensors on it.
Yeah,
I think
so,
it could actually speak, though. It could say certain lines or something.
It's like Siri.
Like
it had Siri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So an interactive
so,
aspect, yeah. too.
Anyway, we brought... Cole wanted to talk about this. So what happened to Hitchbot is that so these Canadians built it. I don't know really why, but it hitchhiked across, you know, quote unquote, yeah. across Canada and through Germany as well. And then it went to the U.S. And of course, in Philly, it got dismembered.
Right.
And beaten
it was supposed
up.
To be an art slash social experiment to see right. like, you know, what people would do with it. And so, of course, in America, it got destroyed.
Sure.
Yeah. And they proved
destroy
don't
all good things.
Don't
here.
Hitchhike in South Philly.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up is that the first few series of articles when the news broke, you know, struck a chord in me because I was thinking of all the robot stories from the 50s before we even had robots and they were still an aspect of fiction and fantasy role playing. You know, not the Asimov iRobot, but the Max Adam Link iRobot stories that were in the comics and the pulp novels, where it was, you know, and to a certain extent, I think the Asimov stories, iRobot Asimov stories as well, just this fear of the other, you know, and as soon as I saw that article, I'm like, there it is, reality, you know, fiction playing out in reality right before our eyes. And go ahead.
So did it get destroyed because somebody was afraid of it?
Nope. No, they actually, they, there was a, there's a,
they
ahead.
Videotaped him.
There
right?
is a, yeah. yeah, there's a, like a street cam. And it was just some guy clearly with anger issues. And I don't even think he knew what he was beating up. And I think it was Chris that pointed out, like, it looked like a bunch of garbage tethered together. So he's, you know, why can you blame the guy for beating up on a garbage can?
Maybe in a moment of weakness, Hitchbot revealed, you know, the plans for the singularity to take over. And maybe we should be thanking this one lone individual, this silent guardian that we deserve, but maybe don't.
He was actually
harboring need or
the
whatever.
Secret of the cyber. What's the Skynet?
Skynet.
I just hope that when they rebuild Hitchbot, that he has a shirt that says Ultron was right.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
They can rebuild him. They have the technology. It's called Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Just a little flashback here. Reefer Madness was indeed produced in 1936.
Okay.
All right, Cole, you've proved your point. You were right.
But can we have a moment?
You're actually talking to him right now, so you need to maybe turn your
Nicole,
head
will you tell Cole?
No, I want
so
you
much actual like connection happening right now.
Here's my question. So Reefer Madness mm-hmm. was a book before it was a movie?
No, it was a propaganda film. It was an anti-pot smoking film from the 30s.
So it started off as a film.
Yeah,
okay.
But then I believe it was in the 90s and maybe the early aughts that they created the musical. And I was it bears very little resemblance to the film. But the film inspired this, you know, Mondo Bizarro, psychedelic musical with zombies and bacchanalia.
Awesome. All right. Speaking of zombies and bacchanalia, actually, that's not really a segue.
It's not really.
So Chris sent us this thing, which I thought was funny. DC's incentives for their new Vertigo launches.
Oh, and I should have printed that.
It was
so. Oh, God, it's so.
You don't have it there, do you?
No, I don't have it there, but I can pull it up.
Yeah, if you can pull that up, because my memory actually made me black out as soon as I got out of this.
Was it too much information?
I mean, we have mentioned the Marvel variants, you know, fiery, painful hoops of whatever, barbed wire. The Vertigo one, though, seemed to try to top Marvel.
Yeah,
almost.
So bear with us as I read this. And you
and
may
see if you can follow along, kids.
So just so you know, DC, because we've complained before, the Vertigo's kind of fallen on the wayside behind Image. So DC's basically throwing everything at the wall and launching a bunch of new titles. Some of them look great. So they want to give retailers incentive to try and, you know, order as much as they want or as much as they can. Mm-hmm. So here is the thing. It's divided into scenarios. If your order, this is scenario A, if your order at final order cutoff on one of the new Vertigo titles is 5 copies or more, and your order at final order cutoff meets or exceeds 80% of your final order cutoff order on the Sandman Overture No. 5 cover A, you will earn an additional 5% discount on this title.
Now, and the title is based off of how much you bought of Sandman
Overture Sandman,
5.
Yeah,
but
so
it has nothing to do with Sandman.
Yeah, it's nothing to do. So
sorry, that just turned into white
just
noise.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
I know. But
title 2 leaves Chicago traveling 30 miles an hour.
So scenario B is the same thing, except like if you exceed 105% of your order of Sandman, then you get an additional 10% off of all these different Vertigo books. And it's just like, okay, Sandman is like one of the most popular Vertigo things any store could ever order. Mm-hmm. There's no direct comparison to these new titles, and that's unfair to the new titles because I order a lot of Sandman. Now, here's how to qualify to order the limited edition Sandman Overture No. 6 variant cover. If you have qualified for 10% discount on some titles and the 5% discount on others, you are now eligible to purchase one copy of the Sandman variant with new cover art for every 10 copies of your lowest new Vertigo title ordered. And it does that again, but it divides and, you know, divide by zero and the universe collapsed and it just keeps going. So
and
that's,
this is something like you have to deal with all the time.
You're expected to keep track of this, distinguish what's going on in this.
Yep.
You never thought like word problems and algebra and all these different things were going to be like that handy. And then, you know,
let me get my abacus.
Manage a comic book store and all of a sudden you're like, what?
Now that is the worst it has ever been, I believe.
Yeah.
But just the fact that somebody at DC thought that was a good idea. It's just like, don't you want me to order your books? Like, make it easy.
What's the end game for them in doing this?
Well, so on a related article, like they're hyping that Iron Man has sold a ton of pre-order copies to the new relaunch. And the problem is that there's a lot of variants. So that's the reason that there's so many extra copies ordered. Most of those are going to end up in people's quarter bins. And it's just so that retailers can get these variant copies and maybe put them on eBay and get more money.
Uh-huh.
So that's basically it. They want us to fish for these things to sell for more. And it's like, man, no, I can't. I'm done fishing. The past like year has been nonstop fishing. And it's hurting my soul now. What's left of it.
The other thing that hurts my soul is seeing Cole and Nicole dance over. Apparently, Cole spilled some water on the floor earlier.
You don't wipe up a liquid. You blot.
Ah,
you blot.
Okay.
So they're blotting.
Okay.
So I take it you're not going to be ordering any of these.
I'm
going to
be, not the variants, but we are going to be ordering all the Vertigo titles, but just in reasonable quantities that we think we can sell.
Gotcha.
Because it's not going to be any of these quantities they want us to order, you know? It's just unreasonable, and it's also, again, it's just like you don't compare things to your best-selling item. You compare them to one of your mediocre-selling items. That way we can actually breach that level.
Right.
So, meh.
Cool.
Numbers.
All right. DC trying to kickstart Vertigo. All right. Hey, it's time for a Time for Book Report, everybody. And it's where we talk about things we've read this week. Why don't we start off with you, Mr. Colhorn, today?
Sure. Well, I'm going to do a little bit of recanting in from, or not recanting. Okay, I read the new Constantine the Hellblazer from DC, and I thought it was terrific. I thought it
Did you hear that?
Yes.
All of our audience members
Do
who...
you hear that, Mr. Contrarian?
Yes, Cole has a friend who argues with Cole every time Cole says he doesn't like, what is it, the Constantine TV show or just the comic itself?
No, the TV series. The issue came from the fact that I felt the TV series was not true to the source material. And the Contrarian, as he wishes to, from here on forward, be mentioned as the Contrarian... took issue because he felt that I should give it be a little bit patient and let the series, you know, test its limits.
Okay.
and also that it was breaking new ground and you know, I needed to exercise a little bit of patience and not he's not wrong in those feelings, but the series didn't last.
But you like the comic that you read.
This comic book harkens back to a lot about the original Vertigo series that I enjoyed. They're pushing John Constantine's sexual boundaries from the get-go, which I questioned the taste of that. And then I was like, well, but it's always been a relatively tasteless comic, except when it went mainstream and he became one of the Dark Justice, Justice League Dark.
Justice League Dark.
That was one of the silliest things right there.
It still happens.
That phrase, so. Justice League Dark, is one of the silliest things. And to include John Constantine, anyway.
It's better than Justice League Extreme. Moving on.
This is true.
Extreme.
Pouches. You know, right from the get-go in the story, he's flirting with a fella. And I was like, well, that's a new one. But, you know, he's always been kind of ambiguous where that's concerned anyway. Anyway, I am looking forward to reading the second issue. I appreciated this. It's, and technically, I guess, how does this fit into their continuity, or do we know? Because it's not a Vertigo book.
Yeah, it's still in the New 52 timeline, even though we're not calling it the New 52.
Right.
But all their continuity is supposed to be loosey-goosey right now,
okay.
So it can be whatever.
Okay, because, well, this book is definitely, you know, 16 and up. This is a PG-13 book as far as I'm concerned. And there really isn't any distinction on the cover anywhere.
Did you like the art style?
Of course, yeah, I did.
Okay.
Riley yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed this book. I'm looking forward to reading more.
Cool.
I think generally I am a bit wary of doing any main DC titles for anyone younger than like high school.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's something that is, you know, pretty clear that it is kind of, you know,
targeted for young people.
Bizarro yeah. Okay. And Batmite.
Right. Yeah. Certain things that might be more cartoony, but that I wouldn't just be like Constantine for kids.
Is DC trending towards being more of an adult line?
It has for a long time.
Yeah, but yeah. I felt like they might have been a little bit more accessible in the past. And
well, but
there was
a post.
They're kind of
Comics Code period where you know they were labeling the covers for what age groups. Am I? Right?
Yeah.
Especially Vertigo.
Yeah, and they're kind of back trending for millennials right now, so that's still teen anyway, but
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
If the TV series was more like this comic book, the Contrarian and I would have nothing to argue about.
You'd find something to argue about. All right, I'm going to go next.
Yay, Ben!
So I read Mad Max, Nux and Immortan Joe. Now, I'm confused because it says number one. I read Furiosa, and that was number one as well.
They're one shots.
They're just, that's it. That's all
So there's
is.
Not going to be, I didn't think there was going to be a number two of Furiosa because it ended where the movie started, and so I'm like, well, where are they going to go from there?
But there is a Mad Max number one and a Mad Max number two.
Oh, cool. So I was looking for that. I want to get that next. I was a little hesitant to get this because the first one came under such backlash and reviewers were like, this comic ruins the movie.
This is technically the first one in your hand. This was the first one released. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
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 When,
yeah.
whatever. I read them in reverse order then. This is more of an origin story for Immortan Joe and Nux. I mean, I liked it. I'm such a fan of that movie. I don't think reading a comic can ruin it for me. Mm. In fact, Cole and I are going to try to find time to go see it again. My second time, his fourth. And probably by the time we schedule it, probably his fifth, because I'm sure he can't wait.
Nice.
Bear in mind, this conversation started on Facebook where I started the status in caps. I said something like, I love this movie so much, I'm going to go see it again and no one's going to stop me and that's the way it's going to be. And then everyone responded to me in caps, so it became this shouting match.
I believe I was first when I said, first. I'll go with you.
No, I love it more.
Exactly. That's how it went.
So Mad Max, Fury Road, Nux and Immortan Joe, I liked it. It didn't actually go back as far as I wanted it to, you know? I want to know like what happens from the beginning, but it's still very good. I enjoyed it.
Did it flesh out the body politic of the Citadel? Did it tell you about the social community that exists there?
No, I didn't get any of that. No.
Okay. Were there fast cars and lots of guns?
There were cars.
Yeah.
A lot of like chains and whips and things. Yeah.
Just the essentials.
Yeah, but what they don't, they don't really describe what the apparatus on his face does, except for maybe, like, you know, it helps him breathe for whatever reason. Maybe it did, and I just glossed over
it.
No,
I don't think it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just kind of left that as it was.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing I took from it is they showed that he had a third child.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's going to be in the video game. So,
the video game.
Yep.
There is one panel where I think it's the first time we see Immortan Joe as like the full costume Immortan Joe, and it's such great artwork. I had to stare at it for a couple of seconds longer than I normally would have, because you kind of see some empathy in his eyes. It's really interesting where you're looking at him going, that guy has kind of, he's got some inner sadness, and I feel sorry for him. Having to take on the burden of controlling all these people. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Nicole, what did you read?
So I'm catching up on some Secret Wars, and I read Spider-Verse. I read number 2, and I started reading number 3, but got terribly distracted, so I'll just stick to number 2 today. And the premise of the Spider-Verse stuff coming out of the event of Spider-Verse and Secret Wars being the multiverse crumbling and then repatching I'm trying not to get lost, but they all end up on this one area. So when I say they, I mean all these different spider men or women or pigs from other multiverses all show up in this one area. So they're following like Gwen Stacy in the first one, and she's trying to get closer to Norman Osborn, and she realizes that she's also dead here, like she saw her tombstone, and you know, there's this something ain't right, we're not from around here, like what's going on. So they have more of an idea that something is not right. Well, a lot of people have just been like, yeah, we've been doing this forever, on other battle world areas, right?
Yeah.
So the second one, it starts off where Spider-Gwen had found Peter Porker. And then they have to go and run. I don't want to like completely take it all away. But the thing that I love about this is the interaction between the other spider people. Because they end up like getting together in a group and trying to take on things. And then even more spider people show up.
Yeah. And it's like Spider-Man Noir is slightly racist. And,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, things like that.
Exactly. But like Peter Porker is leaving. Like Gwen's like, we got to go. And he was like, dude, I'm naked under here, like, because he's on underneath sheets. And then there's like another point where there a lot of the spider people are together, and they're like, I was bitten by a radioactive spider. Oh yeah, I was this thing, I was that thing. And then Peter Porker's like, I was actually a spider who got bit by a radioactive pig. And they all just like stop and stare at him. It's like that record, like, you know, where they're just like, what? So it's just, it's a little quirky, it's a little silly, but I like the storyline. I like that they're, you know, they know that something is up, and I'm not quite sure like where it's going, and the distraction's probably not helping me together, that kind of stuff.
But I can't believe Peter Porker's a thing. That still amazes me.
Oh, yeah. He's been around for a while.
It's because he's the amazing Peter Porker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just really enjoying it because it's a little bit lighter than some other... some other Secret Wars things.
They do that great thing, too, where everybody kind of freaks out at him, and he's just like, okay, I don't even know who any of you guys are because you all look the same to me.
Yeah.
All you humans, all you hairless monkeys are really weird.
Yeah.
So think about that.
Yeah.
So
I have to say he might be my favorite character in the Spider-Verse stuff. So anyway, I'm really excited to read, more issues. Again, I've been loving everything I pick up from Secret Wars. So
Cool. All right, Chris, what about you?
So many things to choose from, but I am...
You have the entire store at your disposal. Yes.
I am really in love with the work of, and I probably am butchering his last name, Tom Scioli. He basically has this very Jack Kirby tribute style, and he's working on the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover right now. And because of that, he's friends with IDW, and they've reprinted his webcomic, American Barbarian. And American Barbarian is this utterly ridiculous mashup of like Conan and Commandy. Give you an idea, the main character is kind of this barbarian who has red, white, and blue hair. And like his whole family, like his father has a beard that's red, white, and blue. And they fight this villain called Two Tank Omen, who is basically a pharaoh with two tanks for feet. He looks like Apocalypse and Darkseid. One of my favorite things about this book, just to give you an idea for the tone, his family's murdered and he vows vengeance. To remind himself of vengeance, he stabs the word revenge into his fingertips. The thing is, revenge is not a 10-letter word. So the last three fingers are exclamation marks. And it's just... utterly bizarre. There's robot dinosaurs, there's just mutants, and it's like full-on like Jack Kirby on acid. It's great. And I there's just a pharaoh with tanks for feet, and I can't get over how great that is. So yeah, it's hardcover is available. It's like $30. It's well worth checking out. You can read it online for free, I believe. American Barbarian.
Cool. All right, that's your book report, and of course, that's our show. But before we go, we play quiz time. Get your quiz hats on, everybody. And woo-hoo! Special for this week, I actually outsourced quiz time to the panel here. So today's questions come to us fresh off the typewriter of Mr. Chris Casseau. All right, yes. So Chris, lay it on us.
So I call these famous last words. Mm. They are the last lines of villains in movies. But... they would be almost a little too obvious in some cases, so I want you to name the actor, not the character.
Dear. So are they superhero movies or just bad guys?
Bad guys across, okay. And it was a little difficult because most bad guys' last words are, or a swear word. Right. So,
So just to clarify the rules, you want
the name of the actor. Yeah, you don't have to tell me the movie or the character.
So, but we probably will.
Yeah, and you should. So, first one. The heat's getting to me. I'll murder you momentarily. But first, I need a cold drink of ice water.
Wow. Yeah. Is that a clue? Is that a hint? A cold drink of ice water?
It's a big part of the character a bit. It's from a series I know you love.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Give up? Animated or live action? I don't know.
Okay. Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
Yes.
Of course.
There we go.
Okay. It's going to be like this, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's going
to be
like this. Probably. He knows they're hard.
I have the top five. I thought some of them might be easy, and some of them might be quick, so I have eight in case we don't go.
All right.
But we could just do five. Next one. You were right. You were right about me. Tell your sister you were right.
I can tell you the character, but the actor's name is lost to time.
You know the character?
Yeah, it's Darth Vader.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So the actor is...
It's not Christensen. It was the guy before. It was the original Humpty Dumpty Darth Vader.
Who only appeared in that one scene in the entire...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That guy's name.
That guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sebastian Shaw.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I mean, I have action figures of him for days, but ask me, clearly I don't remember his name.
Okay, next one. Don't tell Harry.
Oh, that was, oh, I know that one. That is Willem Dafoe.
Yes.
In
Point to Ben.
In Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Great.
Okay. This one's too difficult, sorry. You think you have won. What is light without dark? What are you without me? I am a part of you all. You can never defeat me. We are brothers eternal. It's not a superhero movie.
Sounds like it should be, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one person mm-hmm. talking to a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, I'm at a loss.
Tim Curry as the Lord of Darkness in Legend. I made that too horrible, sorry. Okay. So here's the last one. You're going to hate me for this one. Okay.
So far, Ben's winning.
Yeah, he is.
He got one.
Yeah.
You still refuse to accept my godhood? Keep your own god. In fact, this might be a good time to pray to him, for I beheld Satan as he fell from heaven like lightning. I like supervillain quotes.
Is that a supervillain quote?
No, or that last bit's not.
Is this a superhero movie? Yeah. Oh, cool.
Is it De Niro?
No.
Oh.
No.
Is it like Viggo Mortensen from The Prophecy or something? Why is that happening?
It is Raul Julia from Street Fighter.
Oh, you're right. We are going to hate you for that one.
Okay, this one you will know. This is the last one.
All right.
From hell's heart, I stab at thee.
Yay.
For hate's sake, I spit my Yay. Last breath at thee.
Ricardo Montalban.
Yes.
Uh-huh. In Star Trek 2.
Anyway, that's
sorry.
No, that was awesome. I actually answered a quiz time question. I'm very excited about that. All right, that's quiz time. That's our show.
That was a good one. That was a really good one.
Thank you for joining us. You can find us at perfectboundpodcast.com. You can email us at perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. You can find everything that Cole and I do at thepaneljumper.com. And you can come to Comic Extension at 319 Northeast 45th Street here in beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicextension.com. That's our show. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.